Hello, you're very welcome into NCBI's Technology Podcast. It's episode 4 for September 2012. My name is Stuart Lawler. Very nice to be back with you once again. Over the next 43 minutes, we're bringing you interviews from NCBI's technology exhibition. We find out about the Newbridge Computer Club, a very interesting article about a product called The Voice, and Dervla Drummy talks to us about low vision and assistive technology. That's all coming up on this month's edition of NCBI's Technology Podcast. Well, before we start into the main podcast, I want to apologize sincerely in advance for the state of my voice. I'm recovering from the end of a bad head cold. I think everybody's been getting these flu-y colds over the last couple of weeks. Luckily, most of what you're going to hear today was recorded before my head cold, so I'll try and keep my interludes to an absolute minimum. Thank you once again for joining us on the podcast, and thank you to everybody who's been sending us feedback over the last couple of weeks. It's very much appreciated. You can do that, of course, by sending an email at any time to technologypodcast@ncbi.ie. And I got a note from Martin and Anne Kelly of the People of Disabilities in Kildare, who are hosting an event in conjunction with the Newbridge VIP Computer Club. And I'll read it for you. They are holding an open day for people with failing eyesight on Friday, 2nd of November, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The event will be held in the Kildare Volunteer Centre, Cutlery Road, Newbridge. Why not come and try a selection of helpful technology, including electronic and handheld reading aids, screen reading and print enhancing software, using your iPhone to make texting, reading or finding information easier, and clear-faced watches, cooking aids and large print calendars. The exhibitors will be Ash Technology, Rehan Electronics and NCBI. The event is supported by NCBI, Working for People with Sight Loss, and County Kildare Leader Partnership. So put that in your diary if you're living in the Kildare area or surrounds and you want to find out more. Friday, 2nd of November, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Now, on last month's podcast, you heard me talk about NCBI's technology exhibition. It was held this month on Monday 17th and Tuesday the 18th of September. Really worthwhile event. Lots of people visited NCBI and were delighted to see that, of course. It was very nice to meet with many service users and listeners to the podcast and, of course, to have time to chat to the exhibitors and find out what's new. Over the next two podcasts, I'm going to split up the interviews I did so that you'll get a flavour of what was happening at the technology exhibition. Let's start off with a chat I had with Dave Salisbury from Dolphin Computer Access. And I began by asking him a little about Supernova. Supernova version 13 is out.
It is. It came out last week and it's now vastly improved for the internet. Makes using the internet a lot easier. A lot of websites now are putting these things called landmarks on a website. And there's a hotkey built into Supernova, which is a semicolon key, which will take you to a landmark. Previous versions of Supernova weren't very great on the internet, if I'm honest. And we've got keys now where you just press the E key, which will take you to a search box, and it'll take you straight there, and you can type straight away, so like a Google search box or whatever.
And can you, say, browse headings with H?
Yeah, do headings, okay. And 1 to 6 will take you to headings 1 to 6.
And combo boxes and radio
all
boxes.
That. There's all hotkeys. We've put caps lock and F1, caps lock being the dolphin key. Caps lock and F1 will give you help. Whichever application, whether on the internet, in Word, Excel, whatever, will give you specific help for that program. And there are a list of hotkeys to use in that program.
Now, one of the things a lot of people have talked about with Supernova for a long time, actually, is the very good support with Braille displays. That presumably is ongoing.
Yeah, it's still there. I mean, one thing that we pride ourselves on, and one of our major points, is the support that we give our customers. You know, we can't get the guys on tech support to work after 5:30, I'm afraid, but we've got six guys on tech support waiting for phone calls, And they can remote in. If you're on the internet, they can remote access into your computer, take over, fix the problems for you. And it's so much quicker and easier that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Just tell us, because I think over the last couple of years there's been some changes in what we might have known as HAL and then Lunar and Supernova.
Yeah, sure. Well, HAL, Lunar Plus exist under another name. So Lunar, which was the magnification package, is now Supernova Magnifier. HAL, the screen reader, is now Supernova Screen Reader. Lunar Plus, which was Reader Magnifier, so it's all the magnification with limited speech, is now Supernova Reader Magnifier. And Supernova that was is now Supernova Access Suite.
So you get everything in Supernova. You're getting your magnifier, your speech,
access
your
Braille. Access Suite, you're getting everything. That's okay. All singing, all dancing. You don't need anything else.
Okay. Let's turn to Guide for a minute, because I've seen a lot of people who might have never used a computer before, blossom using Guide.
Oh, Guide is just an unbelievable program. People who've never used a computer, no matter how old they are, we've had 90-year-old people for the first time, sit down with a computer. Guide takes over the PC, so you don't see Windows. It's its own environment. So there are three menus. And if you ask people when they say they want to use a computer what they want to do, they tend to say they want to email, they want to go on the internet, and they want to write letters. That's 1, 2, and 3 on the menu, the first three. The fourth one is you can have a scanner attached, and you put your document, newsletter, newspaper, whatever, on the scanner, press 4, it will scan it, display it on the screen, and read it back. So it comes with magnification, it comes with speech, you've got lots of colour combinations, and you can turn the voice off if you don't want the voice as well.
Sounds like a great all-rounder package, and I know you can do things like listen to the internet radio and even have a plug-in for Skype.
We do. On the third menu, there is a Skype, and if anybody purchases the whole package from us, we set them up with an email address and we set them up with a Skype account. So Skype's on there. Yes, you can listen to internet radio, Australian. When I do demos and I've got internet, I tend to pick an Australian radio station because you can get much further away. You can have that running in the background while you're typing your emails. It's got radio listen again, so if you're a fan of the Archers or something like that and you missed an episode, you can play it again back through this.
Look, it's been great to catch up with you. Enjoy the rest of the exhibition. And if people want more information, yourdolphin.com.
Exactly. Yourdolphin.com is the website to go to, where there are prices, there are demo downloads that people can do, and that sort of thing.
Dave, thanks a million.
Yeah, thank you.
Many thanks to Dave Salisbury there, and we'll be back to the technology exhibition in NCBI later on the podcast. Now for an email we received from Eleanor Burke, who says, "Hi Stuart, I was very disappointed in the sound quality recording of this podcast, not the usual excellent standard. I don't know what I would do without my years-old excellent Braille and Speak. It was a brilliant invention." She says that, "I think in relation to travelling around cities as a blind person, in a similar way that we have 196 free telephone directory service, we should have free Dublin bus text service. It should be possible for us to register as blind people and get the text free of charge, as we are not able to access electronic bus timetables at bus stops." I know there's a number of different apps that are available nowadays. The Dublin Bus app is free and will run on iPhone and Android, Eleanor, so I'm not sure what mobile device you're using, but if you are using one of those devices, it may be worth trying that out. And if anybody else has any suggestions, obviously it would be good to hear from you as well. We got an email from Albert Brown, who says, "Hello Stuart, excellent podcast, very professional as usual. I must say I am enjoying the Flexi app." Yes, I think many people are enjoying Flexi at the moment. "Lovely to hear Carool. We tend to forget the members that started VIX. Keep up the great work, Stuart." And that's from Albert Brown. And many thanks, Albert, for your email. And special hello to Noreen Maher, who's been emailing us earlier on, I think after the last podcast, and I had the opportunity to meet with Noreen at the technology exhibition last week, and it was really nice. So Noreen, thank you very much. Now, a little while ago we read some information from Martin and Anne Kelly about an open day in conjunction with the Newbridge VIP Computer Club. Well, at the technology exhibition in NCBI, I had a chance to catch up with Gary Warren, who is one of the founders of the Newbridge Computer Club, along with Martin and Anne Kelly. I took an opportunity to have a quick chat with Gary and started by asking him, what is the the Newbridge VIP Computer Club?
The Computer Club is for anyone that wants to learn the computers, and it's also a social event to get blind and visually impaired people out of their houses. But our biggest fee is to try and get new members to come along.
Now, when you say learn computers, do you guys do... It's not so much a training course. Is it? It's a chance to meet up and maybe go through a particular topic each time?
It's not as a class. It's no way as a class. Okay. It's more as a group.
Okay.
So we throw technical questions around and answers come from everywhere and anywhere. But the beauty about it is that we're all friends as well as... teaching each other.
Okay. And how often do the group meet, Gary?
We meet every Friday in the Volunteer Centre in Newbridge Cuttery Road. And then the IT trainer comes down once a month, Trevor Lyons, and he gives us his great knowledge.
Fantastic. Sounds good. So you're meeting once a week in Newbridge. It's an informal gathering to talk about technology. What sort of things are coming up at the moment when you're kind of getting together?
Smartphones is a big thing at the moment.
Okay. So people are sort of saying, you know, should I get iPhone, Android, I don't know, Windows Phone, BlackBerry, that kind of stuff?
It's more the Android and the Apple.
Okay. So if people are maybe hearing this, they might be living in the Kildare area and they want to get in touch or find out more, how can they do that?
They can ring Anne Kelly on 045-43-3909 or Gary on 087-67-22717.
Gary, thanks a million for talking to us, and I do hope to visit the Newbridge Computer Club in the not-too-distant future to get more of a feel for what goes on. But for the moment, all the best with it, and thanks a million.
Thank you, Stuart.
Now, when we produced our first technology podcast, one of the feedback emails I got was from a gentleman by the name of John Peacock, who's living in Northern Ireland. And he's involved, and has been for a number of years, with a product called The Voice. So I decided to find out a bit more about it, and John joins us on Skype from his home in Northern Ireland to talk about The Voice. And I presume we're not talking about the talent show that I tuned into anyway last year on BBC. John, you're very welcome to the Technology Podcast.
Thank you very much, Stuart, and it's a fine morning after a stormy night.
So just first of all, John, tell us, what is The Voice?
The Voice is a very powerful set of, let us say, neuromedical research software originating in Israel about 10 years ago. It's a Windows program. It's about 500 kilobytes. Now, it seems to have gone viral and feral because there are dozens of people around the world experiencing it and playing with it and using it as a DIY site replacement system, without benefit of consultations, professors, doctors. It's quite an astonishing piece of kit, and it has got a very humanistic ethos about it. There is a very helpful website, and I like it very much.
So am I correct in saying, and I know that you and I have had conversations previously about The Voice while we were preparing this interview, that it's using soundscapes, it's using audio cues to give you visual information in your environment?
That's exactly it. It has a basic background thesis that there's a part of your brain which loves orderly information. And if you can feed data into this part of your brain with, if you like, verbal rules, you can actually achieve the, shall we say, transformation or translation of audible soundscapes into something approximating to visionary scapes. Now, I am a fully sighted person. I do not know what goes on in a born blind person's head. I would not presume to even guess, but this works for me and it works for them.
Yeah, and we're going to hear from a user of this system in just a few minutes. But just before we do that, you mentioned you're fully sighted. How did you kind of get involved with something like this?
Right. I've been a BBC engineer all my life, working on hardware, particularly on cameras, microphones, digital stuff. I'm not a good software person, but I love gadgets. And I picked this up through the New Scientist magazine, and there was quite an encouraging article about the voice upon in that magazine, and I plucked it up on my computer. Up it came in a 5-second download, and I've been playing with it ever since.
So it, is this software free, or do you have to purchase a license?
The software is completely free. There is a little bit of small print at the very bottom of the last page saying you're not allowed to reverse engineer it.
Fair enough.
But the inventor is entitled to his pride and his copyrights. It is free to anybody for non-commercial use. And there are tutorials, there is a continuously updating website, and there's any amount of personal chat going on all the time developing the system.
Now, my understanding is there's a PC version which works with a webcam. So if you have a webcam on your computer, you can get going on this right away. And there's a version for Android and I think for Symbian. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the Android system, it is so frustrating. It uses the camera on the cell phone, but the camera on the cell phone generally points the wrong way for suitable use. And you can't put in an extension camera. There's no USB socket to put an external camera. It is so important that the camera is physically located on the front of the user's face, shall we say. If you're going to replace the functions of eyes, you really have to put your camera where the eyes should be.
Okay. John, just finally, and then we're gonna hear from a user of this software. Your own sort of link with this product at the moment, you're promoting it in Northern Ireland. Are you a support person? Are you available to talk to people about it if they've more queries?
I'm a retired engineer. I have plenty of time on my hands in the evenings, and I'm very happy to talk. And the place to talk to me is on the Seeing with Sound website. And basically, if you're nice, somebody will speak out of the jungle and help you.
Okay, so just give us that website again, seeingwithsound.com.
It's www.seeingwithsound.com/winvoice, winvoice.htm. Takes you right into the top page of the voice system with even a little demonstration window continuously running. And you just scroll down and you have all the options clearly printed. It should read out on a screen reader very comfortably.
Fantastic. John, thanks a million for talking to us. Thank you for getting in touch with us and telling us about this wonderful product. I have to say to you, I haven't tested it yet, but when I get hold of a webcam, I'm going to try it out. But can I thank you very much for coming on the podcast today and wish you all the best with it for the future.
All the best, Stuart, and thank you for the chat.
Well, that was John Peacock from Northern Ireland, and I've now got a live from India through some technology called Team Talk, a gentleman by the name of Pranav Lal, who's totally blind and who has been using the voice for a number of years. Pranav, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and you're very welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, now you use this technology, you're totally blind, and you're using the voice. Give us, first of all, just some of the scenarios that you use it for.
Well, I use it a lot for indoor navigation. So what's happened is that my employer shifted to new offices recently. So the very basic of navigation, like getting back to my bay, navigating successfully to the toilet and so on.
So when you're doing this navigation, are you using the device on your mobile?
Yes, I am. See, what happens is the voice gives you the ability to do remote sensing. So you don't have to feel the walls as you walk down.
So you
you hear sound, you hear feedback. You're doing this, I guess, as you use your cane at the same time.
That is how you should do it, and that is how I have done it. But what I do in many times, especially when I'm a little familiar with the environment, is not use the cane.
Okay, because you, as you say, you're familiar with the environment and whatever other bits of information you need, you can get from the voice.
Yes.
All right. So I understand that you have it connected to your computer at the moment. The software is free, as John was saying, so anybody can download this and try it. And I understand there's an Android and Symbian version available.
That is correct.
All right. So you're going to load it up on your computer just to let us hear some of the sounds that you hear as a blind person and how those sounds can translate into, for you, some cues about what's around you.
Yes. Before I do that, let me give you one other application I use it for, which is photography. So I'm not sure what if I call myself a blind photographer, but I guess I'm one of the few photographers who use synthetic vision to take images. I don't look at audio, you know, when looking at an image or setting up a shot. It's purely visual.
And the voice is giving you that feedback as you prepare your camera?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, look, let's have a listen to it, Praniv, and maybe you can just tell us a little bit about, as you listen to these sounds, what you're hearing, so we can hear the voice now in the background.
Okay. This is live.
Okay. I'm right. I guess as I listen to this, I'm hearing something that might be similar to a computer game. What are we hearing in your room at the moment, or what are we seeing? if you could describe.
You are seeing the curtains on my window.
And how do you know that sound is the curtains? How have you sort of trained yourself to know that's the sound of the curtains?
Okay. Let me simplify the soundscape first. There are three things you need to remember about the soundscapes. Okay. There are three rules that you need to interpret them. So at the moment, we are assuming that you are in stereo. This can be done in mono, but for the sake of simplicity, let's go to stereo. The sound pans from left to right. So you know the position of the object in the horizontal space. The pitch of the sound represents height. So the higher the sound, the higher the object.
Okay.
And the volume of the sound is brightness. So the louder the sound, the brighter the object.
Okay, so a high-pitched object with a bright or with a loud sound might be some light coming in from a high window?
Yes, it could be that. At the moment, what you're hearing is just a flat line.
And the sound that we're hearing in the background now, it's a sort of a continuous beep, I suppose. What is that telling you?
It's telling me a bright line, which is vertical, given the high pitch. It's a high object. It's a tall object.
And you're using this on your computer, Praniv, with a webcam. Is that correct?
Yes, so at the moment I have loaded an image file, but it's connected to to the computer, in fact, on which I'm speaking to you.
It reminds me, Praniv, not a million miles from a product that was certainly here in Europe, I don't know if you came across it, called the K-Sonar, which connected to your cane.
I am familiar with it. In fact, I tried it last year.
Yeah. And that device sort of used soundscapes. I wouldn't say it was as, may not have been as maybe sophisticated as what you're using now, but it tried to give you some information about your surrounds by giving some audio sounds. And the idea was that you would use a pair of headphones with this device and similar type concept to the stereo idea.
Yes. The difference between the K-Sonar and the voice is the way you get information into the device. The voice is using live camera views. And it's very surprising how ununiform lighting is around us. I now know why sighted people have such a problem when the power goes out.
Yes, they can't, there's no light. Pranav, listen, thanks a million for coming on and talking to us. I mean, you've definitely given, I think, us a sense of what the voice can do. And I suppose I'd encourage anyone who has access to a webcam or an Android or Symbian phone, go off and download it and play with it and see what you can get from it.
Sure, and you don't even need a webcam. You start with static images. I mean, pick up the family album and see what people look like.
Very good. Your life will never be the same again. Pranav, thanks a million for coming on and talking to us today.
Thanks, Stuart.
You're listening to NCBI's Technology Podcast. I'm Stuart Lawler, and once again, I'm at the Technology Exhibition here at NCBI Whitworth Road, and I'm at the Sight and Sound stand, and I'm with Elisa from Sight and Sound. Elisa, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you here. You know, Sight and Sound are always busy. It's always a popular stand. What sort of stuff are you guys showing today?
Well, lots of the old favourites, Jaws and Zoomtex and Kurzweil, but we've got a couple of new kids on the block that have been causing quite a bit of a stir. So one of those is the Georgie smartphone application.
Okay, so now I've heard lots of people talking about Georgie. I've had lots of people ask me about Georgie.
Okay.
And I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
Other than it's an Android app.
It's an Android app. If you think of it as it's a software app, but with a collection of app features that sit within it, and it can be really as complicated or as straightforward as you want it to be. If you just want to make phone calls, have a list of contacts, and maybe have an emergency contact, it can be as simple as that. Or you can have features such as optical character recognition, so you can use the camera on the phone to capture printed text, which it'll do, scan, convert, read out to you, store if you so wish.
And is this giving you speech or magnification or both?
I think it allows you to visually magnify and change some of the visual settings, colours, etc. on the screen, if you so wish.
Okay.
And if that's something that's going to be useful. But really it's about the way that it delivers audio information and allows you to navigate around all of the different assistive features.
Okay. So at the moment, if I go, because there are many Android handsets out
mm-hmm,
there,
mm-hmm.
If I go and can I buy any Android handset and install this software, or is there recommended handsets that it works better on?
We have a collection of ones that we would recommend, but what we like to do is offer a tier or a selection based on price, size, and functionality. And I guess the biggest functionality that really would be a decipher for which handset would be the OCR. You need a decent camera.
Okay.
But the devices on offer range from about £150 right up to something like the Samsung Galaxy.
Okay, which is like nearly 500
right.
euro or something.
Yeah.
I'm conscious that this is a version 1 product before I ask this question, but is there any support for Braille at the moment?
Oh, that's a really good question. Currently, no,
okay.
But it's definitely on the roadmap.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're trying to slow down the developers. They keep adding and adding. We
okay.
just want to make sure.
Yeah. So, and as again, Android by its nature, lots of updates being pushed out to the Google phones, Google devices all the time. Does that have an impact on Georgie? I mean, if a user installs an update?
No, it shouldn't have an impact on Georgie. Georgie, if you think of Georgie almost like a cloak, if you like, that sits on your existing Android phone.
Okay.
And depending on how much or how little you want to use Georgie and how technology savvy you are, you can stay quite safely within the comfort of the simple world of Georgie. You can go back to all of the different Android features that may be pushed out to your phone, but it won't interrupt, and it doesn't. They won't integrate into Georgie. Georgie sits separately as a separate cloak.
Okay, and the price of Georgie then, outside of the phone, to buy this software, how much does it cost?
The basic pricing structure is the core, what we call the core features app, which allows you to do simple things, make phone calls, send texts, look up your contacts, have a look at your call logs, and a really nice thing called Places, which allows you to even record certain places of interest or certain routes that you might take on a regular basis. That's the core app. And then on top of that, there are a number of packages that give you even more features. So there's the travel app, for example. There's the lifestyle app. The lifestyle app gives you access to things like podcasts and download talking books. And then the communicate pack, which is really popular because that's got the OCR text recognition function.
So you can buy these packs individually?
You can.
Okay. Or you can combine the whole lot and buy the suite?
Correct. Yeah. And you can buy it with or without the device. You may already have an existing device.
And presumably if Sight and Sound is selling the device, that device will be unlocked. So somebody in Ireland could buy a device?
Yes. Okay. And we can build the phone if that's required. Yeah.
So listen, it sounds great.
Good.
Well, listen, Elisa, thanks for chatting to us today. Sight and Sound are always doing great things, and we're delighted to have a chance to catch up with you.
Thank you.
So thanks again for talking to us.
Pleasure.
Many thanks to Elisa from Sight and Sound. And just to confirm the pricing on Georgie at the end of that interview, the core features application, which includes your text messaging, contacts, and basic functions of the Android device, costs €190. You can get more details on Georgie by visiting www.sightandsound.co.uk. Over the last couple of months, we've spoken with blind technology users in Ireland, most of whom have been using speech or refreshable braille. This month, however, I'm delighted to be joined on Skype by Dervla Graham, who's living in Waterford. And Dervla uses technology, but also has low vision. Dervla, you're very welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Stuart.
It's interesting to talk to people about low vision because over the last couple of days we've been holding our technology exhibition in NCBI and lots of low vision stuff there. What was your sort of first introduction to the world of assistive technology?
When I went to UCC, I was able to avail the services in the Disability Support Office, and their technology person suggested that I try, Zoom text. So I think it was Lunar first, and I think the person who was to give me that didn't turn up or something. So it ended up being Zoom text, which I started to use in my first year of college.
So when you were in, so this is your first year of college. When you were in school, were you using any assistive technology?
No, I wasn't.
So was that a struggle? I guess you hadn't been using it, so maybe you didn't know what the benefits were.
Yeah, it didn't really occur to me. I wasn't using computers of any kind, really. Okay. And I, just wrote away and went up to the blackboard when I needed to and, read and all that. And I didn't feel any need for it. Although I do remember I did a 2-week kind of basic computer course when I left school. And I was wondering why I was struggling with it so much when everyone else was flying, along with all the tasks.
Right.
I couldn't really see the computer properly. I could, but, I never realised that you could get magnification. Obviously, the people there didn't either because they had no experience of it.
One of the things that I guess is being talked about a lot lately is that when you're totally blind and you're using technology, it's pretty easy. Either it speaks or it's got braille. And it's fairly easy to sort of say this screen reader does this or this program does this and that's it. But I guess with low vision, there are so many things to consider, right?
Yeah, there is. It's a bit of a no man's land because you've got people who maybe they might have had perfect sight before, you see. So they have to get used to using computers in the first place and then the technology on top of it. Then there are people who perhaps like me or like other people don't realise that they need it or that it's there. I did actually speak to a girl before a couple of years ago And she wasn't using any Zoom text, you know, and she really needed it. Like, you know, I can go without it, but she really needed it, you know. And since she started using it, it's made her life a lot better.
And I know lots of people who use magnification don't always maybe understand how to maximize the use. For example, the idea of the split screen, or to be able to zoom one window and maybe to be able to focus on particular areas of the screen. How did you sort of, when you got ZoomText for it, did you get training or did you kind of teach yourself, or how did you work that?
I can't really, it was a good while ago. I don't really remember training. I'm sure I was given the right pointers. I don't like using a split screen. I've never really used magnifiers, like handheld magnifiers either. I like kind of being able to see the whole screen at once, or the whole book at once, which I can do when I hold it close up, you know. Okay. So I don't use magnifiers like that. I use ZoomText, and I think after a while I figured out that I could make the mouse bigger, which is really helpful.
Okay. Dervla, let's talk about something that I was very interested in that you did a couple of years ago as part of VICS, yeah. Visually Impaired Computer
These
Society.
You were very supportive of us too.
Well, I think it's just so important because you set up the Low Vision Working Group. What were you doing with that?
I was hoping, I have to admit, I was a little bit selfish. I was hoping to find out more about technology myself. Yeah. That I could use or make better use of technology. But I also believed, because of talking to that girl and just a couple of things like that, there wasn't really, and even the VICS list, it's very good for totally blind people, but if you had low vision and you were just starting to use computers, I felt that there was a gap which needed to be met. So I kind of wanted to do that, and that gap is still kind of there. Mm. Like it had some success, but the trouble is, it's hard to find people to train low vision people. Obviously, you have great assistants, you know, or technology people in the NCVI who can do it. But I suppose this was the Visually Impaired Computer Society, and there weren't enough people to train the people, and that it was hard to get the awareness out there as well, because it's part of a bigger problem of, I suppose, having low vision and being in a bit of a twilight zone. You mightn't realize that you need the technology in the first place.
It's an interesting point you make, and it's one I was only talking about to someone the other day, that there appears to be, anyway, let's say within the totally blind group, lots of people who do training and who know lots of stuff about technology.
Yeah.
There just doesn't seem to be that level of expertise, or at least if there is, it's not very kind of visible in the low vision category.
No, it isn't really. I do think it's something that needs to be addressed, but maybe in a more formal way than I could do it.
Okay.
I think possibly it could be a role for NCBI in the future.
So the low vision working group, I know one of your outputs was a low vision training day, and yeah. I was
very successful.
Yeah, and it was just interesting for me to sort of hear things people were talking about, and even people using, you know, things like iPads and mobile devices,
yeah.
that had problems, and some people with very low vision providing training, which was interesting as well.
Well, you see, yeah, that's because, again, you know, there weren't quite enough people, and, you know, I could coordinate the training, but I could probably have done with some training myself, like I was saying. But, you know, like there was a low vision instructor, and yeah, there were two blind people, but they were just able to explain things clearly to people. Once you can teach, you can teach.
Yes,
but, you know,
yeah.
It is difficult for blind people to do, because they need to see where the person is on the screen.
Yeah.
So I just think it would be helpful overall if you knew that there was a place that you could go to get information as a low vision technology user.
Okay.
That's, you know.
Dervla, there's big topics at the moment, I guess, are mobile phones. And again, it's a bit more straightforward for totally blind. What are you, as a low vision user, what are you using at the moment?
I'm using, I reluctantly had to switch to a smartphone in March.
Okay.
We loved our Nokias as low vision people because they were so clear. The screen, you know, the contrast was very clear on them. I don't find the HTC all that great. When I get an upgrade next year, I'll see about a different one. I was with two friends at the weekend. One had a Samsung and one had an iPhone. The text on both of them was bigger than mine, and on one of them, I think it was the Samsung, there was contrast. I can't just find in my HTC, I can use it, but the writing is really small. And there is a largest text size, and I was going grand with that until the text mysteriously shrank. It's still quite big, but it's not as big as it was, even at the largest size.
It's, you know, and you know, that's interesting, because the sort of stuff we seem to be getting, again, kind of, is that Samsung and more so the Android, I guess, range of handsets, or handsets running the Android OS, seem to be, anyway, better for people with low vision.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'll try for a Samsung, because it was actually my friend was the girl that I mentioned who was who recently switched to Zoom Text, and she has the Samsung, and I suppose, you know, she says that she does manage with the text. I would definitely be in heaven with that, I have to say. And also, my brother showed me his Nokia. Well, he got a trial of a Nokia Lumia.
Oh yeah,
that looks really good as well.
Okay,
and that's just a continuation of what I was always used to.
And it's interesting you mentioned the Lumia, because the Nokia Lumia, the current version, runs Windows 7, and Microsoft did make some provision for
Yes, I'm using, if you want to speak about your first point about what technology I use now, I use the Windows 7 magnifier now, and it does the job for me now, so if there was a Windows 7 magnifier in the Nokia Lumia, that would be great.
Are you excited about the future in terms of technology? Are you sort of, what are you sort of watching, or what are you interested in as a low vision user of technology?
I suppose I would like to know, I'd like there to be built in magnifiers into Microsoft computers as well as Apple ones. Although the gas thing as well, this is part of the training problem. I know there's a magnifier in the Mac, but anyone I know who uses a Mac is blind, so they can't show me.
Yeah.
So, and then I'd love there to be the same thing with Microsoft as well. That would be good. And I suppose it would be helpful to know, incorporate as well, to know where I could go for just information, like information about, even in a more informal way, about what mobile phones are good and what websites are good and things like that.
Okay. And finally, Dervla, we ask all our participants this question. What's the one piece of technology that is sort of tied to you that you don't leave home without, maybe? Your favourite piece of tech?
I suppose it is the old phone at the end of the day. It makes you feel alive and connected to the human race.
Yeah. Dervla, thanks a million for taking time to talk to us and for sharing your experiences of use of technology as someone with low vision.
Thanks very much, Stuart.
This is NCBI's Technology Podcast, and I am with Brian from Southern Optics. Brian, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Stuart.
You've had a busy stand pretty much all day, so it's nice to have had a chance to catch up with you.
Indeed, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Southern Optics first, because you're an Irish company.
We're an Irish company, formed by my sister, Jara, and myself back in 1989. And we've been in business in Cork since then.
Okay. What kind of stuff? Because I was looking here on the table just earlier on. I saw glasses. I saw a couple of magnifiers. What kind of stuff are you showing?
Well, for your exhibition, we're doing all vision aids, a selection of vision aids, handheld magnifiers, bright field magnifiers, that sort of thing, illuminated magnifiers. And then we also have a range of filters for various eye conditions and that sort of thing.
And what does a filter do, Brian, when you say filters for eye conditions? What would that do?
Say for someone that's a light sensitivity and things like that, or maybe they're, you know, it's to do with glare, or they have a problem with wind and things like that. These are sort of cocoon your eyes.
Okay.
You can wear them over spectacles if that's what you need, and they're all-round protection, both on the sides and on top.
I often hear people with low vision talking about, for example, they use maybe a long distance aid, then a shorter distance magnifier to maybe look at the numbers on a bus. If the bus is coming, they're using a long distance one. Is that the type of stuff you're doing here?
Yeah, we do. We have a selection of binoculars, Stuart, that you can keep in your pocket, and you know they're small. It's like they're a single lens, and you focus then on maybe a shop, name of a shop, or a number of a bus or something like that.
Okay. And I know, Brian, that most of the products, at least that you're showing here today, are available through the NCBI shop and Low Vision Clinic.
Yeah, all our product, we supply everything to NCBI and all your clinics.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, Brian, thanks a million for chatting to us a bit on the podcast, and hope the rest of the exhibition goes well.
Thanks, Stuart, and thanks for having us here. We enjoyed it.
Many thanks there to Brian from Southern Optics. Such a nice guy, and very nice to catch up with him. On next month's podcast, you can look forward to interviews from VisionAid, Optelec, Ash Technologies, and NCBI's shop. So lots more to come from a technology perspective. Also on next month's edition, I'll be speaking with Dr. Bláthain Gallagher. She's head of EU projects and research in NCBI. Just before we go, a quick shout out to all at NCBI's Sullis Centre in Clondalkin who've been listening to the podcast. Thanks for your feedback, guys. That's just about it. I'm back in October. Take care. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.